At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday on the Early Line, right here on Sports Grid, all around the Sports Grid network as well. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch. Find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens, and he is Donnie Wrightside, DRS, here, of course, on this Monday to start off a new week on TEL. Donnie Wrightside is great at many things, but as the Monday morning armchair quarterback to look back on a full Sunday slate for the second time in week number two in this National Football League regular season, that is where Donnie truly shines. And we'll do a ton of that, DRS, over these next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun today. Armchair quarterback, one of my favorite things to do during football season. So much happened on Saturday and Sunday that 3 hours, as we like to say, it may be not be enough here today, Ben. We might need four.
We might need four, DRS. Make the countdown up by another hour, but let's go around the football universe as we start right here on this Monday morning by looking back on Sunday Night Football in Foxborough, an AFC East divisional showdown between the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. And DRS, the Dolphins are a perfect 2-0 to start this year. 24-17, the victory last night in New England. Miami wins and covers as a slight point-and-a-half favorite in DRS. The Fins 2-0 with two pretty impressive road victories for Miami to begin 2023.
That's key. You'll take them any way you can get them. And that was a pretty impressive performance by the Dolphins and a late surge comeback by the Patriots. And it felt like week one all over again. Look at this. The Patriots driving for a chance to tie or end or win the football game. If they go for two, come up inches short on an incredible play, a lateral back where you thought maybe a big man was going to get a first down. Yeah. It didn't happen. The Patriots lost. They dropped to 0-2. But hey, story of the day is the Dolphins. They're 2-0. They are legit, man.
A welcome to our Sports Grid radio audience here. Hour number one of the first day of a new week live right here on the Early Line. Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us bright and early here on this Monday on TEL. Looking back on the second full Sunday of the National Football League regular season. The Dolphins go into Foxborough, and they hold on late to win 24-17, covering as a point-and-a-half favorite. Miami now two games, two road victories to start this year. The Pats have been competitive, DRS, a tough start to their season against the Eagles and the Fins, but they do start 0-2 for the first time since the early 2000s, 2001, to be exact. Speaking of an 0-2 winless start, DRS, what's good with the Bengals? Not much offensively, as Baltimore goes into Cincinnati and the flock wins outright as a 3.5-point underdog, 27-24. Despite numerous injuries, DRS, for Baltimore on both sides of the football, they start 2-0. The Bengals behind the eight ball to start this season. Not only two losses, DRS, but for the two-time divisional champions in the AFC North and the divisional favorites entering this year in Cincinnati, two straight losses in division to start 2023 as well.
It's a long season. There's 17 games, 16 games to 17 games. It actually makes a really big difference in the longevity of the season. Having said that, impressive performance by Baltimore. You come into the game injured. Odell Beckham Jr. is having a solid first half. He's injured, sits out the second half. And how about Nelson Agholor with a great over-the-shoulder catch on a beautiful ball thrown by Lamar Jackson. Other guys, including Zay Flowers, stepping up. Really impressed for Baltimore. I took Baltimore to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. Didn't like the fact that J.K. Dobbins goes down this week. But my goodness, guys, just taking look overall, I loved what I saw out of the Ravens, and my goodness, if we're taking a look at Joe Burrow being week to week now on how that calf is going to react to his game situations, that could be a long season for the Bengals, Ben.
Yes, it could, DRS, and Joe Burrow did speak about that calf that he said he tweaked. He would have been out there for the final possession if there was one for Cincinnati. We'll talk to the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, a little bit later on this show. Since he did start 0-2 last year as well, losing outright as a touchdown or greater favorite in each of their opening two games, and of course made it all the way back to the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, we'll see what 2023 holds. So far, DRS, not many teams more dominant in each of their two games this year than the Dallas Cowboys. A 30-10 victory yesterday at home on a Sunday at the Star over the Zach Wilson-led New York Jets. The Cowboys stifling that Jets offense led by Zach Wilson, picking off Wilson three times. DRS for the first game in the post-Aaron Rodgers era now for New York in 2023. Not the return offensively you were hoping for if there was any optimism in Zach Wilson back at the helm.
Cowboys were supposed to win this football game, but also the Cowboys dropping 30 points on that Jets defense was equally impressive here. The one thing that we knew about Zach Wilson, he was going to make mistakes, and he has another three turnover performance, which you just can't have. The game plan going in for the New York Jets for me, Ben, was just don't make the big mistake and lean on your defense. Well, Zach Wilson couldn't help himself from making that big mistake, and even though he had that one long play to Garrett Wilson to get them back in the game and a drop, maybe pick six by Sauce Gardner on the outside, it was a Cowboys day. They are ferocious in the front seven.
They are, DRS, and that Cowboys defense had a bend but do not break approach yesterday against the New York Jets. On the other side, for Gang Green, they also played pretty astute defensively, just a lot of short fields. The Cowboys kicked five field goals yesterday and totaled 30 points, despite the fact they had some golden opportunities offensively. And for the Jets, DRS, Zach Wilson was the leading rusher, only 64 yards as a team. Speaking of New York football, the Giants, a historic comeback yesterday in Arizona against the Cardinals. The Giants come all the way back to win 31-28. DRS held scoreless in the opening quarter. We asked ourselves, will the Giants ever find points this year? They do, but they might lose Saquon Barkley for a little bit of time, injuring his right ankle late in that comeback victory.
Yeah, by the way, I took over 17.5 touchdown passes on the season for Daniel Jones, thinking that he might not even have any on a 17-game season. But he gets two yesterday, including a rushing touchdown. Saquon Barkley was effective until he did get injured late in that ballgame. We'll see what that means, because it is a quick turnaround for the Giants on Thursday Night Football against the 49ers. But my goodness, that was a season-saving victory for the Giants when it looked like they were going to be the laughingstock of the NFL after week two, Ben.
They were down 20-0 at the halftime break to come all the way back. A big victory that hopefully builds confidence for Brian Daboll and Big Blue. DRS, quickly here. Saturday night, college football. We go to double overtime in the Rocky Mountain Showdown late on a Saturday, maybe even early on a Sunday morning. Colorado prevails in double OT, 43-35 over Colorado State. They come nowhere close to covering as a 23.5-point favorite, DRS, but still a victory for the Buffs to stay a perfect 3-0.
I'm telling you, I didn't stay up for that game. Had some other things I had to do on a Sunday, but my goodness, the first score I checked was that one, and to see it went to overtime and see how Colorado State should have won that football game, but credit Deion's boys. They played fantastic down the stretch when they needed to, Ben.
More of a recap around college football. Big favorites struggling everywhere, DRS, on Saturday. Georgia only wins by 10 against South Carolina. Needed a second-half comeback, trailing at the break. More football up next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's continue to look back on a Sunday slate in the National Football League, week number two of this NFL year in 2023. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. This is a Monday live on the early line. DRS yesterday, Sunday Night Football in Foxborough. Through most of the week, we thought there was going to be some weather throughout the weekend in the greater New England area. The effects of Hurricane Lee up the eastern seaboard, not so much. A beautiful Sunday evening in Foxborough as Miami is off to a beautiful start this year. A perfect 2-0. The Dolphins victorious over the Patriots 24-17, covering as a short point and a half favorite. The total of 46.5 does stay under. DRS, New England did make it interesting, certainly in that fourth quarter, but the Finns hold on for their second straight victory to start off this year.
Yes, they did, and credit the Miami Dolphins, as you brought up, Ben, to start the show. Two road wins and two AFC road wins here on teams that you figure that might have be, you know, into the playoffs at the end of the season. That is massive to have, but let's get started here on what the problems for the New England Patriots are. Hey, guys, stop starting double digits down in the first half of a football game. Look, Mac Jones, 42 times, 231 yards, only 5.5 yards per toss. That's not good enough here. But also, this offense isn't designed to be a run-and-shoot comeback offense. It's designed to be a balanced attack. We use the running game with Ramondre Stevenson and also Ezekiel Elliott and mix in the passing game. That's where you're effective. When you can't actually be effective in your ground game and you just have to throw, that's not what they're built for here. And credit for the Miami Dolphins for jumping out to an early lead. And by the way, I love what I've seen out of the Miami Dolphins. Hey, we need Dalvin Cook. Did you see Mostert? He was shot out of a cannon yesterday, Ben, including that 43-yard long touchdown run where he was looked like Usain Bolt running away from everybody. Yeah. 121 yards on the ground. That's how you win on the road. Look, Tua Tagovailoa is sensational. They needed him to throw for every bit of that 400-yard plus that they did on opening day. But it's nice when you get some help on the ground. I thought the Dolphins were extremely effective. Got a little bit close late. But if you could tell right away, Ben, the Dolphins were the better football team last night.
Certainly so, DRS, and that offense was explosive for the Dolphins early on. Of course, Bill Belichick making his adjustments in the second half. A few betting trends then as we'll continue to go through this year. Maybe we look at New England's opponent laying a first half number against the Pats, and conversely, maybe the Patriots in the second half, because that has been the story in Foxborough for the Pats each of these past 2 weeks. DRS, New England now dating back to the start of 2022, just 2-9 against the number as an underdog. Miami won outright as a dog week one, covering as a short favorite last night in Gillette Stadium. And DRS, two different ways of victory for the Dolphins, which is always a testament to how good teams might actually be. 466 passing yards a week ago against the Chargers for Tua Tagovailoa. Last night, under his prop of 268.5, but clean football, 21-30, and a touchdown toss. So, DRS, it wasn't maybe the explosive aerial attack for Tua, Tyreek, and Jaylen Waddle that we saw a week ago in L.A., but on the ground for a 120-plus for Raheem Mostert and two rushing scores, the Dolphins got it done.
Yeah, they certainly did get it done. That's a testament to them. This is a season where, Ben, again, coming in, I wish I never had to deal with concussion injuries here for Tua Tagovailoa because they would be another notch here. But every single time I watch them play football, when Tua is there, they are an effective football team. They are a great offensive team. And also keep in mind that whole theory of Bill Belichick likes to take away your best player. Tyreek Hill, 5 catches for 40 yards. Typically, that's probably a loss for the Miami Dolphins. We have other superstars like Jaylen Waddle step up, 4 for 86, as we talked about Mostert, 18 carries for 121 yards. That's 6.7 yards per carry against that Bill Belichick defense here. They're doing it a lot of different ways. And also, if they can just hang on and that pass rush stays out, they were down maybe their best pass rusher yesterday. And also, we know they're down their best cornerback probably till late November or early December. Could things actually be even getting better for the Dolphins if they could just stay the course? Maybe so, but I was impressed by them last night. Don't look at the final score. The Dolphins were much, much better than a 7-point win last night for me.
And after 11 grabs and 215 yards and two receiving scores last week for Tyreek Hill, that number up into the low 80s yesterday, DRS, against New England. He stays below it, but no, he's a key cog, obviously, of this offense. Only 5 grabs yesterday, but 9 targets, more than Jaylen Waddle, who had 5 targets week number one in L.A., 4 grabs, 78 yards. Waddle went over his receiving yards prop last night, DRS, at 62.5. I think you get a discount there for a guy that is explosive. Only 6 targets, 4 grabs, 86 yards for Waddle last night. And because of the offensive numbers for Miami, Tua Tagovailoa, now the MVP favorite, DRS, after week number 2's Sunday slate. A 5-1 number for Tagovailoa, a dollar in front now of the reigning NFL MVP, Patrick Mahomes. A 6-1 price for Mahomes, who was happy yesterday, DRS, to have Travis Kelce back offensively and to look at the other side of the football and see Chris Jones there for the Chiefs as well. An AFC playoff divisional round rematch yesterday in Duval County. Not the offensive game we expected, Donnie. The highest total of week number 2, 50.5 between KC and Jacksonville. But the Chiefs do go on the road, get their first victory of the year, 17-9, covering as a 3.5-point favorite in Duval County.
I mean, shame on you, Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson, not winning this football game yesterday and actually coming away with an embarrassing loss. And I say that because 3 turnovers early for the Chiefs. You have to capitalize and put that team away. It was clear they were off their game. And one of those things we don't expect from an Andy Reid football team, Ben, getting a little bit extra time to prepare. You knew they were embarrassed from Monday from that early Thursday night game. You come back in this game, it looks like they were dead to rights for most of the first half. Waking up Kelce, anytime touchdown market, minus 125. You knew he was going to be a red zone target and absolutely got that. But I can't get by looking at this game for Jacksonville, saying to myself, they won their first game and basically, I'm not going to say get lucky on the road with the divisional opponent, but I thought there was a really good chance they could have lost that game late against the Colts.
Yeah.
Now you come home, you can go 2-0. And again, we talk about burying the Kansas City Chiefs, getting that tiebreaker just in case you see them in the playoffs where it might be in your building. That's basically a game and a half there that the Chiefs won because now they hold the tiebreaker over the Jacksonville Jaguars for a season-long standings here in the AFC.
Yeah, DRS wasn't pretty for Kansas City. More turnovers that plagued the Chiefs, of course, in week number one. But Travis Kelce was targeted 9 times. Only 4 grabs for 26 yards, but a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes, over 300 yards passing. 2 TDs and a pick. Chris Jones was on a pitch count, so to say. Still had a sack and a half and a tackle for loss yesterday. He's so important to that Chiefs defensive unit and what he brings in the interior of that offensive line. So, KC, a victory now. Week number 2. They are the favorites to win the AFC Championship plus 330. But Donnie, look who is in second. 5-1 now for Baltimore. The Bills round out the top 3 at plus 550.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, man. I just needed a good start out of the Ravens. And again, I know we can't turn the injuries off. I hope they don't get any more and get some of these players back. We'll probably get some injury information. Great to have Dr. David Chow on the show today for us as well. Later, Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, a lot of interesting stuff to try to talk about. But I was thoroughly impressed here by the Ravens yesterday. But also, the medal of a champion here. You didn't bring your A game. You're on the road in a hostile environment against a Jacksonville team that figures they might be able to take the next step. So I do have to give some credit to Kansas City. When you're not winning not at your best, as I like to say. Sometimes that feels even better than cruising to a 41-3 win.
DRS, you were optimistic about the Ravens. Have to love what you're seeing so far through 2 weeks. Despite numerous injuries on both sides of the football, Baltimore goes on the road in Cincinnati, winning outright, DRS, 27-24 as a 3.5 point underdog. Lamar Jackson did a ton, 237 passing yards, 2 touchdown tosses, 54 yards on the ground. But Donnie, for Joe Burrow and that offense for Cincinnati, it's been porous through 2 games. Only 282 yards of total offense yesterday for Cincy.
I thought the Ravens would have a legitimate chance to win that game. The 3.5 was just a bonus. But Ben, Ja'Marr Chase, I expected him to have a big day yesterday against a banged up secondary for the Ravens. He just wasn't there. 5 catches, 31 yards. We need better out of Ja'Marr Chase if that offense is going to move.
222 for Joe Burrow, 2 touchdown tosses and a pick. The first touchdown of the year for Cincinnati was the rookie Charlie Jones on an 81-yard punt return TD. The offense slow to start in Cincy. We're not for NFL recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to react to week number two in the second full Sunday slate of this National Football League regular season in 2023. You know the plan here. Monday morning, armchair quarterback alongside Donnie right side. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, so far throughout this NFL season, I think the argument to be made is Dallas has looked to be the best team all around the NFL. Yes, they got the courtesy of facing Zach Wilson in the New York Jets and not Aaron Rodgers in the New York Jets in their home opener yesterday against the other New York team after being dominant on the road in MetLife on the first Sunday night football game of the year against the Giants. But that defense, great for Dallas once again, taking advantage of Zach Wilson being out there. Three INTs yesterday, Donnie, against the New York Jets and Zach Wilson, who had a prop yesterday, Donnie, and I swear it was incredibly rude. Minus 235 for Zach Wilson to throw an interception. The Cowboys took three of them against the new signal caller, the old signal caller for Gangrene.
Yeah, equally as embarrassing, Zach Wilson's touchdown pass prop was a half as well, which was juiced, but you never see that from a professional quarterback. Now, having said that, I think it's almost time to start to hit that panic button here for the New York Jets. What you expect out of Zach Wilson, I mean, look, if you said before the game you'd throw for 170 yards and three interceptions, I don't think too many people would actually argue with you, Ben, and say, yep, no way, I didn't expect that. There is a part of our minds that would have expected that. But when you have the, you know, a legitimate defense, you have weapons on offense, your game plan should be take care of the football, move it here, try to keep us close. You can't have three interceptions. And one of those midway through the second half was just so egregious where you're rolling out of the pocket. It looks like you're just throwing it to a Dallas Cowboys player. You can't have that type of stuff, which is what you always got in trouble with Zach Wilson to begin with. It's clear that he didn't learn anything over the offseason or anything from Aaron Rodgers, because if you let the game come to you, there's plenty of weapons on that team. Take the route that's there, the 5 yard, the 7 yard, the dump out of the backfield. Don't try to be a hero here. He didn't need to do that. Now, having said that, the Dallas Cowboys might be one of the better football teams in the NFL with an absolutely electric front seven that can get after you. So if you're looking for the Jets to go on the road and win that football game, they were 7.5, 8.5 point dogs. They weren't supposed to win that. But now we start to look at the New York Jets moving forward and what that actually means for him as a quarterback, talking about Zach Wilson. But I do want to put the focal point on Dallas. They're really good on defense. They're a lot of fun. And Tony Pollard stepping in as the lead back here, sensational. He only had 25 carries for 72 yards, but he did so many other things out of the backfield, including 7 catches for 37 yards. I like what I see out of the Dallas Cowboys, and that was equally as impressive as their 40-point win on the road against the Giants in week one, Ben.
The Dallas Cowboys do even cover DRS as an 8.5-point favorite yesterday at home. The total barely trickling over the pregame number of 39.5 with 40 total points between the Jets and the Cowboys. Clean football yesterday from Dallas's perspective. Dak Prescott started off nearly perfect. He was 31 of 38 at the end, 255 and two touchdowns, 72 yards on the ground for Tony Pollard, 44 carries as a team, and 134 yards. DRS, the Cowboys kicked 5 field goals yesterday, and their new kicker, who of course is a story out of the USFL, Brandon Aubrey, he was great. 5 of 5 yesterday, a 55-yarder, made his only extra point as well. And what was the recipe, DRS? What was that sliver of optimism we gave for New York following the Aaron Rodgers injury by looking back on their Monday Night Football win over the Buffalo Bills? A great ground game. Breece Hall, 10 carries, 129 yards in the opener, and a stout defense. The defense is put in impossible situations when Zach Wilson is turning the football over, trying to fend off a dynamic Dallas offense on a short field, and they did a pretty good job of that. Again, 5 field goals yesterday for the Cowboys. It could have been a much larger score and a much larger victory margin, DRS, had the Cowboys not had to settle for field goals and score a couple of more touchdowns. Zach Wilson was the leading rusher yesterday, Dottie, for the New York Jets. 36 yards on the ground for Wilson. Breece Hall, 4 carries, 9 yards. Dalvin Cook, 4 rush attempts, 7 yards, and a costly fumble early on in that game as well. For everything that you thought, Dottie, if you wanted to be the glass half full guy for Game Green without Aaron Rodgers, of why this team might be able to be competitive and cover an 8.5-point spread, even against one of the best teams in the NFL in the Dallas Cowboys, everything you wanted to be glass half full for was pretty empty yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, we have to check on here for the Jets on what they were doing on offense. If, again, the game plan, I think many of us thought this, Ben, go in there, play sound football and good defense and see what happens at the end. This game wasn't a blowout all the way through. And you brought up a great point. Zach Wilson, 5 carries for 36 yards. Take out those 5 carries. 11 carries for running backs here. You paid Dalvin Cook a lot of money. I understand what you're doing with Breece Hall. Oh, we have to put him on a pitch count. Does a pitch count mean getting 4 carries in a football game? Why is he even active at that point? You saw how electric was, or he could be, on opening night against the Buffalo Bills. I just didn't understand the game plan. It's to protect your quarterback here and not make mistakes. And it felt like, hey, get out there, kid. Throw it all over the lot and see what happens. Yeah, we saw what happens. A 20-point loss on the road.
DRS, I guess it's pretty hard to remember right now, but the New York Jets did win their opener even with the devastating loss of Aaron Rodgers. They beat the Buffalo Bills, the front runner within the division, in a divisional game to start the year. So how does Buffalo bounce back in their home opener in Orchard Park yesterday? Well, in a big way. The Raiders scored the opening touchdown of the game. It was like, uh-oh, could this be a disastrous start for Buffalo? Nope. The Bills responded 38-10 at home over Vegas, covering as a 7.5-point favorite. And Donnie, if the story for Josh Allen, who said after the game on Monday night in MetLife, you never want to be the reason why your team suffers a defeat, and I feel like the reason, if he was the reason for a loss on Monday night, he was the reason for a victory yesterday over Las Vegas. 274 passing yards, 3 passing scores. Sure, only 7 yards on the ground, but Donnie, the main story, and you won't see it in the prop board, a 0 for Josh Allen, as in 0 turnovers yesterday for him and Buffalo as a team. A big 28-point home victory in the home debut for Buffalo this season.
How about this, Ben? 38-3 to close out the game for the Buffalo Bills. And you're right. I was driving home from the Pro Football Show yesterday and listening on the radio going, like, I can't even understand this. How do you drive right down the field here? What's going on with the Buffalo Bills? I even chose them in my eliminator pool for week number 2, figuring that was the easiest game of the day. Now, granted, it turned out to be one of the easiest games of the day. But my goodness, things weren't looking good early. But credit Josh Allen. And he said it. I loved in the post-game press conference where some people take it the wrong way. He's like, look, I love the feeling I had last week because you're empty inside. You know you didn't perform well, and it's always a chance for redemption in week number 2, which they got. So the Buffalo Bills, I don't know if they corrected all their issues, but also, this is what we pretty much expected from the Raiders. They go on the road to beat the Denver Broncos, which they're a completely whole other story, but I figured this should have been an easy shot here for the Buffalo Bills. They got it done running away. This is the talent we expected from the Buffalo Bills, right? So good on Josh Allen for coming back. So we don't have to hear like, oh no, is Josh Allen done? 31-37, that's pretty impressive.
DRS, we are here on the early line. We look at the early lines for National Football League games very early on in a week. Despite a victory for the Rams over the Seahawks last Sunday, LA opened up as an 8.5-point underdog against the San Francisco 49ers for week number 2. It then dropped to 7.5. So depending on where you got this number, that closed at 7 yesterday, you were going through a wild amount of emotions in the final minute of yesterday's contest between these two NFC West rivals. Sean McVay and the Rams, as time expires, decide to kick a field goal from Matt in that football game that allowed it to be a 7-point win for San Francisco. So Donnie, either a push, a cover, or a non-cover for San Francisco, depending on what side you had. One thing we do know, Kyle Shanahan against his good friend Sean McVay, 9 straight regular season victories now for the Niners over the Rams.
Yeah, by the way, taking a look at that game, too, I see Brock Purdy's zero touchdown passes. I guess they corrected it because that one pass to Debo must have been ruled a lateral there. I actually thought he would throw two touchdown passes, had legitimate chances to do that, Brock Purdy, but didn't. But again, effective, 17 of 25, 206. Hey, Zach Wilson, no turnovers. Did you hear that? Team going on the road, giving himself a chance to win. Now, granted, I understand the 49ers are probably in a better spot than the Jets right now, but the same thing could be taken. But how about that, the way that game ended? To be honest, I wasn't involved in the spread of that game, but I was certainly watching it here. I'm shocked they brought the field goal unit out here. So were the telecasters. And it didn't matter either way. The game was going to be over. But to kick the field goal really got a good chuckle out of me, knowing what that spread was. Because I would think 9 out of 10 coaches would just have their quarterback out there, throw a lob into the end zone just to see what would happen. But I was really shocked they went for the field goal at that point. But that always brings up the, it's scripted. McVay, plus 7.5. You know, he told somebody to bet that. Always the jokes involved in there as well.
I mean, how could you not think that, DRS? A field goal when you're down 10 as time expires and Brett Maher converts from less than 40 yards out? I mean, it wasn't like they're like, all right, we'll give him a go at a 67-yarder, see if he can set an NFL record. It was a 38-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just going to say, I think the lines are known in each and every locker room. And if Sean McVay was going to lose for a 9th consecutive time in a regular season contest against Kyle Shanahan, he was saying, you're darn right, we're covering a number on our way out as an underdog. DRS yesterday, Brock Purdy, 17 of 25, 206 yards. Christian McCaffrey sneakily over 100 yards yet again, a 116 on the ground and a touchdown. But history for the young rookie wide receiver in place of Cooper Kupp out of BYU, Puka Nacua. 20 targets yesterday, DRS. 15 grabs, 147 yards. He has 25 catches now in his first two NFL career games. That is the most by any rookie wideout in their opening two games in a National Football League career. He is the only player, DRS, in NFL history to have at least 10 grabs and at least 100 yards receiving in his first two NFL games. History for Puka yesterday as well. More NFL reactions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want us to react to an NFL weekend live right here on the first day of a new week, a Monday on the early line? That's what we do. We don't call them overreactions here on TEL. Perfectly adequate reactions on this Monday. Our weekend winners and losers coming your way, and more recaps and reviews around the National Football League. DRS, something about when the Seahawks and the Lions face off against one another. For the third time in the last three NFL regular seasons, a matchup between two conference foes. And Detroit came back home to the Motor City yesterday after an opening season win over the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in the home of the defending champions. A Motor City debut for the Lions. And Donnie, when the Seahawks and Lions face off, it is points a plenty. A total of 47.5 sails over as the Seahawks storm back with a second half that was much different than their second half week number one. 37-31 in overtime. A 6-yard TD toss from Geno Smith to Tyler Lockett was that winner on the opening possession of that extra session. Donnie, 68 combined points between these teams. We saw 93 between them last year in the opening month of the regular season. That was a 48-45 win for Seattle. Make it three straight victories for the Seahawks over the Lions, too. A big offensive affair yesterday in Detroit.
Loved what I saw out of the Seahawks. I mean, you want to talk about coming back on the road in a hostile environment with that crowd feel like it's been waiting 25 years for a good football team to show up, and they actually did, but equally impressive performance across the board. We thought there was going to be points in this game, Ben. They end up with 68 total points, which was so much fun to watch. Jared Goff threw 35 times, 323 yards. You take a look at Geno Smith, 41 times for 328 yards. They combined for 5 touchdown passes and only 1 interception. They certainly did the time here. By the way, David David Montgomery going down. 16 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown before he left. That could have been a contributing factor late in that game. Jahmyr Gibbs only 7 carries on the ground for 17 yards. But when you talk about game, you can't go 0-2 in the NFL. You just can't do it, including losing 2 conference games. And if you take a look at the Seattle Seahawks, getting that victory was absolutely massive. Now flip it over to the Detroit Lions side. This is one of those games you had to win at home. You were supposed to win. You were favored to win. And also you had the lead for primarily all of that game, and you let it slip away late. But again, credit those Seattle Seahawks here. I was equally impressive. Their season's certainly not over, but also from a Lions perspective, buckle up your seatbelt, Ben, because if we watch these 17 games, it feels like a lot of these are going to come down to the end because the Lions don't have a very good defense. For overbackers and prop backers, they're a sensational football team.
DRS, this is just the 6th time in the now 2+ years under Dan Campbell make that 36 games. The Lions were booked as a favorite. They are 3-3 against the number. Incredibly profitable as an underdog, but now expectation is there for Detroit, the front runners in the NFC North. They will be booked as the favorite many more times the remainder of 2023. And Donnie, the Seahawks will shut out at home last weekend against the Rams in the second half. 24 points in the second half yesterday to come all the way back against Detroit, and of course the touchdown in overtime. Lions fans might say, hey, there was a big hold out there on Aiden Hutchinson. It was not called. The Seahawks take advantage. They win 37-31 in OT. Donnie, one of the 2 overtime games that we had in the early window yesterday, that leads us perfectly into our winners and our losers of this weekend. The Titans come back in the 4th quarter to force the extra session. Actually, it was the Chargers making a late field goal to force OT, but the Titans win outright 27-24 at home as a 2.5-point underdog. Donnie, the Chargers led in the 4th quarter once again, as they did last week against Miami. And if the Chargers are going to Charger, it is going to be a very long year. DRS, I know you have them in your loser category after the 2nd weekend of football this year.
Yeah, and again, you might not say, well, how could they be the biggest loser? I mean, it goes back to last year, and you take a look at the playoff game, which they absolutely imploded when they should have won. There's so much talent on this team, including a quarterback that's providing everything you need. Goes on the road yesterday against a quality defense, 305 yards passing, 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and you lost. Why? Because your defense can't get any stops. And oh, yeah, that high-octane offense of the Tennessee Titans moving through that Chargers defense like Swiss cheese, which included Ryan Tannehill, 246 yards, which might as well be 546 yards for the field for him. I just can't believe what I'm watching out of the Chargers. There's so much talent on that football team. They are built to win now and in the future, and yet they can't win now, and it doesn't seem like they're going to win in the future. Maybe it is just the head guy, Brandon Staley. If you watch that post-game press conference where they were just throwing lobbing softball questions like, hey, man, how's the mood in that locker room? How do you think the mood is in the locker room? They just lost another football game, but credit the reporter that goes, is this a layover from last year where you guys imploded in the playoffs? Absolutely not. Did you see our training camp? Yeah, nobody saw your training camp, pal. We can only take your word for it of how good your training camp was. But if I'm looking at the first 2 games, now granted, the Dolphins are a quality football team. You still should have won that game at home. The Titans, we'll see what they are. You should have won this football game the way it played out, and you didn't. The Chargers are 0-2, and they shouldn't be. That's the issue here.
27 of 41 for Justin Herbert, 305 yards, 2 passing scores, but no Austin Eckler yesterday, DRS, and you saw a change in how that offense runs under first-year OC in L.A., Kellen Moore, 61 rushing yards. That's it as a team. And Eckler is not just great on the ground, but, of course, a pivotal tool in that passing attack as well. The Titans win in overtime 27-24. The Chargers, the top loser on DRS's board, the top loser on mine, Donnie, the Denver Broncos. They had an 18-point lead midway through the 2nd quarter, 21-3. Then Washington came all the way back. They were up 8 in the final minute of regulation. Denver starts to drive just a little bit from 50 yards out in Mile High. Russ throws up a Hail Mary that is tipped around more times than I can count, and it finds its way into the end zone. Brandon Johnson, 35-33. Denver has a shot. All they need is a measly 2-point conversion. They do not pick it up. a questionable defensive play by St. Juice there for Minnesota. No PI awarded on the defensive play against Courtland Sutton. And that's how it will go down in the history books, DRS. Almost a miracle at Mile High. But instead, it's a 2-0 start for Washington, 35-33, winning outright as a 3.5-point dog. And maybe, DRS, some people will point at that failed 2-point conversion. How about you point at yourselves, Denver? You were up 18 at home midway through the second quarter. Russell Wilson seemed like he figured out how to play quarterback again, only for it to fall apart in the final 2.5 quarters. And Donnie, what are the questions that Sean Payton and Russ are facing today? Another loss at home, two straight home games to open up the year, booked as at least a field goal favorite in both. What are you going to make sense of? There's not much to feel optimistic about in Mile High at the moment.
Mr. Unlimited turns out to be Mr. Unable to Win at this point. You're supposed to be 2-0 if you're Denver. I don't even like them by any chance, Ben, on the season. But if you started the schedule opening up, oh, it's an easy win over the Raiders. And then you get a Commanders coming in. Who knows what they're going to be? But you got them at home. You end up 0-2. And truth be told, you know, watching the Sunday night football game, they show the highlights of the day. I already had the game shut off. I was like, oh, man, Washington won that game easy. Last minute, nothing's going to happen here. That was an incredible play to watch to get it to really chance for a 2-point conversion. What a devastating loss that would have been for the Commanders. But the central focal point is here. Can you win with Russell Wilson anywhere and that massive contract? All eyes on the prize yesterday. And you said it here. If this was one of those back and forth games that didn't win at the end, say, okay, you know what? You live to fight another day. Didn't happen for us. But the fact that you're at home with basically a 3-touchdown lead and you let that slip away with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Again, credit Eric Bieniemy, and also give credit to a team that with Sam Howell quarterback went on the road and got a big win. And now the Commanders are 2-0 on the season. But I agree with you. I mean, the Broncos, a absolutely horrendous performance. Could we be seeing midway through the season? Now, granted, there's a lot of money with Russell Wilson, but we already see the friction between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. I wonder if that continues to build here.
And DRS, that's why they're a part of my loser category. It's not, hey, 5-12 last year. We got a young QB, a new head coach. We'll figure things out. It's Sean Payton, a Super Bowl pedigree, and it's Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, at least in terms of cash, a $245 million extension he signed with Denver before his first year with that Broncos organization. It is win now. It is playoffs now, not next year, not in 2025, and the Broncos feel very, very far away from that. DRS, we'll start with negativity, and then we'll get to the positive. I'll go with my final two losers here as well. I think the Bengals off to a dreadful start this year. I picked them to win the Super Bowl this season, DRS. They don't seem like a Super Bowl contender at the moment. Now, the fifth best price to win the AFC, plus 950, and their third best number at plus 550 to win their own division after entering the year as the favorites. And Tommy Rees, welcome to the loser list. The new offensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa that forgot how to design an offensive scheme for one of the best athletes at the quarterback position in the SEC in Jalen Milroe. It seemed almost, DRS, that he was flunking the offense to make Tyler Buchner, the Notre Dame transfer, the quarterback. Well, how about this? Out of the two QBs played for Alabama in a measly victory, 17-3 over South Florida, where the Crimson Tide looked lifeless, and yes, they won by two scores, but were favored by 33.5. DRS, Ty Simpson and Tyler Buchner played for Alabama. No Jalen Milroe on Saturday. 10 of 23 for 107 passing yards as a team for the Crimson Tide. Not against Georgia, not against LSU, against USF. Donnie, things are bad in Tuscaloosa, like we haven't seen since Nick Saban's first year at the helm in 2007. They are now ranked outside the top 10 for the first time in nearly a decade. Donnie, things are bad in Tuscaloosa, and the offense is the reason why. I think Jalen Milroe's got to be the guy at quarterback for the Crimson Tide before a huge top 15 showdown against Ole Miss this week.
Yeah, a few things about that game. I watched that game just about all the way through, wondering why Nick Saban was sabotaging his own football team to prove some sort of point out here. When you're in a rain-soaked game and you have the most electric running quarterback in college football and he doesn't appear in the game because you have backups on top of backups who can't move or throw and you were trying to prove some sort of point. I saw Nick Saban in the post-game press conference also saying to us, oh, you know, proud of my football guys. When all I kept saying was, once that lightning delay took place, I said, no Rose coming in. They're going to blow the doors off this South Florida team just by running, you know, street football at this point. Hey, go back there and make a play, which he would have done. Surprise what happened here. But let me get to my losers here quickly as well. I did have the Chargers number one. Number two, it's easy for me. It's Zach Wilson, a quarterback for the Jets. That was an embarrassing performance where you come in as a top-level quarterback with top-level talent, and you go on the road and embarrass yourself in the biggest way. I can't have that. And then the Bears. What are the Bears doing here? Justin Fields, remember all the conversation in the offseason? Trade Justin Fields, you know, draft a quarterback here. They decided to go with Justin Fields. He imploded in that football game. I don't know what to say about the Bears, but maybe Eberflus is now the offensive coordinator because that's what looks like is happening out there with Justin Fields, Ben.
DRS, they've lost 12 straight games. They've given up 25 or more points dating back to last year in all 12 of those consecutive losses. A tough day yesterday for a guy that's a big Justin Fields believer, although over his passing yards prop of 169.5, finishing with 211. DRS, we'll get to our winners to end out this first hour, and maybe, just maybe, some optimism and a winner for the New York Jets despite a loss yesterday. We'll talk about it up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, listen, we were a little too negative there to end out our final segments in our weekend winners and losers, looking back on the weekend that was mostly in the National Football League, but with some CFB sprinkled in. So, DRS, to end out this opening hour, let's spin a little positivity. Who were your three winners from this past weekend?
Baltimore Ravens going on the road 2-0. To lead that division, I thought it was a fantastic performance by Lamar Jackson. By the way, Lamar Jackson is healthy in the regular season. You always have a chance to win. Number two, we gamble here. Sean McVay, if you had a Rams ticket in your back pocket, he was your favorite coach of the week, and rightfully so. Number three, it's the Falcons. The Dirty Birds are back. Too legit to quit. Down double digits late in that football game. They storm the fort and win. And my goodness, Bijan Robinson, that guy is a player. Love what the Falcons are doing. Fun football team to watch. Big time comeback. They're winner number three for me, Ben. How about you?
DRS, as of right now, there are two perfect teams in the NFC South. Those Atlanta Falcons and the Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield tops my list. 26 of 34, 317 and a touchdown yesterday as the Bucs beat the Bears handily at home by 10, covering as a 2.5-point favorite. Your family, your religion, and Rutgers football, DRS. The Scarlet Knights, one of three teams in college football to cover as a favorite, booked in all of their games as a favorite versus their entirety of their slate being FBS opponents. Rutgers hammering Virginia Tech 35-16, covering as a 6.5-point favorite on Saturday. They're 3-0 this year. And Michael Penix Jr., DRS, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. 27-35, 473 yards, four touchdown tosses as the Huskies go to East Lansing and topple Michigan State 41-7. Donnie, maybe optimism for the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers is eyeing a postseason return if the Jets get to the playoffs. Yeah, maybe in the booth, DRS. We'll talk with Dr. David Chow about the feasibility of that in Major League Baseball to start hour two in 55 seconds.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.